Hi, this is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. Boy, do I have a great book for all of you today. Oh, I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Joe Yogerst. My goodness, Joe is so busy all the time. He's writing and writing and writing. And the new book is 100 Trails, 5,000 Ideas, Where to Go, When to Go, What to See, and What to Do. Hey, Joe, how are you?
I'm okay, Patsy. Good to be with you again.
Oh, it's always good to be with you. I love your books. I think, how many have you written for Nat Geo alone? I think this is 34, 35?
It's somewhere between 40 and 50 books that I've worked on.
Oh, my goodness, 40 or... You are one lucky guy, I tell you.
I definitely feel that way. I do feel blessed to work for them, so...
Oh, I cannot think of anything more fun than to work for them because you get to do what you love and write about what you love, and you do it so beautifully.
Thank you.
So the new one has us on some trails. This is an exciting book, and it comes out just at the right time. The weather's going to start, well, up north. Eventually, the snow is going to melt. Some people, my brother's in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Oh, boy. Well, yes, he's got some winter left.
He does, unfortunately. He just had like 4 feet of snow on his roof. So he's not hiking right now. Maybe on snowshoes. He does like to go out in the snow. But this one is so exciting. Now, there's 100 trails in this book. Have you done all of them yourself?
I have tried to do at least a little bit of each of them.
Wow.
It would be impossible to have done all of them. For instance, the Trans-Canada Trail, which is the longest one in the book, takes between 6 and 10 years to finish.
Okay. I don't
so
think
I've done
that
I've
one.
Done little bit I've done little bits and pieces of that, but I have not spent 10 years hiking the whole thing.
No, I think that is definitely a little bit long, but there are a lot that are not quite so long. Some that are very easy to get to, and then some that are more remote. So, tell us some of your favorite ones.
Well, the first big trail that I took on when I was 19 was the Grand Canyon. Down to the bottom, camping, sleeping out under the stars, and then hiking out again. And so that was really my first big trail, kind of famous one that I took on. And back in those days, I was a novice hiker. So I did it in, I think it was to those white Adidas tennis shoes that everyone used to wear back in those days. And an old Army surplus backpack and a ratty old sleeping bag from my Boy Scout days. And it was in July, and it was about 110 at the bottom. So I learned a lot of lessons on that one short hike about what to do and what not to do. But I started with the Grand Canyon, and then I did a lot of hiking in national parks around the same time, Bryce Canyon, Zion, Yosemite, Sequoia, even Death Valley. So I really started out on those national park trails in the West, and those are still some of my favorite because I often return back and do some of them over again.
Well, of course, like the Yosemite one, I've done it many times, and it's always new and exciting. You always see something different, and you see something with a different light. Sometimes the sky will be so different. It's so exciting to be on that trail.
Yes. Well, and I just have, again, memories of being young and not such a knowledgeable hiker. So getting, you know, on the John Muir Trail in Yosemite, I went with two friends, and after college, and it only lasted one night because a bear stole all of our food. I've always called it the kamikaze bear because we did what you were supposed to, which is put your food in a backpack up in a tree and put it out on a branch. But this bear was willing to crawl out on that branch and actually have it break and plunge about 20, 25 feet to the ground, and didn't hurt him at all. He just ripped right through that backpack and stole everything, including our toothpaste.
Well, he was one determined bear.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Did you get a picture of that?
Well, no, because every time we stuck our head out of the tent, it growled at us, turned around and growled at us. So no.
Yeah, so and those were the days you actually needed a camera. Now you'd have a cell phone. So
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Wow. That's a good one. So have you had other adventures on your hikes?
I've had different kinds of adventures. You know, we decided, even though it's a U.S.-Canada book, there are some chapters, some very short chapters in between about international hikes. And I haven't done nearly all of those because they're all over the world, and there's 10 in each continent. But I've done a couple of those, like Mount Kilimanjaro, which I did in Africa, and another trail, the Tsitsikamma Trail in South Africa, which I backpacked alone for a week in the African bush. And so that was interesting because I had to cross. It was kind of the rainy season, and the rivers were overflowing. And to hike the trail, I had to wade through water up to my chest in some places. Luckily, it wasn't too free-flowing. And anything could have happened to me out there. I mean, my parents and, you know, my girlfriend and my friends had no idea where I was, and I could have disappeared, and the body would have never been found. And it's not something I would do again.
Yeah, you look back and you say, oh, boy, I was a little bit crazy back then.
Well, you know, they always say that you feel like nothing can hurt you in your 20s, and I kind of felt that way hiking in my 20s.
So I passed it
down to my kids, who are now hiking in their 20s and doing things like hiking at night and through the Utah desert and things. So they've kind of picked up the hiking craziness, too.
Okay, well, hopefully they have cell phones nowadays.
Well, yes, they have cell phones and GPS, and they have All Trails, which is a marvelous app for anyone who hikes. I just swear by it, and my kids swear by it, and I mentioned it in the foreword to the book, how important that was to me as a hiker and also putting together the book.
You know, that's the fun thing that, you know, when you are putting together a book and you can relate it to not just your adventures, but also now with your kids. And I was the same way when I was very young. I was off on my own all the time, in strange countries, taking buses by myself, going here by myself. And I was a girl, and I wasn't afraid at all in those days. Now,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff I did. I mean, I've hitchhiked in some very strange places where I would never recommend that anyone hitchhike now, but I didn't feel like anything was going to happen, and nothing did.
So. Yeah, you know, and I did the same thing. I was in the Middle East. I would get on just local buses. I like to be with the people, with the real people. You look back and you think, oh, my goodness, well, we survived it, and we're here, and now we have this wonderful opportunity to try some really fun trails here. As you said, most of them are here in the United States. I think it's so wonderful to get out there and to hike. When I was traveling, and I did a lot of hiking when I was young, I always had these little tiny books that I used to carry. They're olden day books, novels, but they publish them at really small for ladies to keep in their purses. So wherever I go, I could stop, you know, next to a waterfall, I could sit on a stone, and I could read. When you're out there, if you do that, there's nothing as much fun as doing something like that, where you're really away from everything, but you can still maybe read your favorite poet, or you can read your favorite writer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it adds to a lot of what some people in the past call perfect moments, where you're alone in the wilderness, and all at once you feel very small in nature and also kind of large in yourself because you're the only person out there. And there are these little, I'm sure you've had them, these little perfect moments, sometimes at sunset or sunrise, and up on a high bluff looking out over the landscape or next to a lake, and you just sit there and think, how lucky am I that I'm able to be here?
So true. And of course, with you, you have all of this wonderful ability to write about what you see. And then, of course, you also, you're a photographer. So it must be so exciting when you get out there. You're like itching to capture everything.
Yeah. Kind of the thrill of discovering new places has never faded. The thrill of traveling on airplanes has faded.
Oh.
long ago.
Oh, yeah.
And the thrill of passing through airports. I don't know if there ever was a thrill about passing through airports. But when I mean, I still like driving places. If I can drive to a place rather than fly, I prefer that. And once I arrive, you know, it's still the same thrill that I got when I was 19 or 20 and discovering places for the first time. That has never, ever faded, that thrill of discovery.
Don't even mention airplanes. When you think back of, we used to fly TWA or Pan Am, and the service was so great. We looked forward to it. Those days are gone, unless we're very wealthy. But it is. But to be out there, as you said, to be out there on your own or with someone you love who doesn't talk too much. One of the things that I did one time take a hike with my girlfriend, Franny. Now, I love that girl. She was so sweet, and we loved to do things together. But I took one hike with her, and I never would hike with that girl again. Because, I mean, I'm sure there were birds chirping, and I'm sure there were, I never heard anything but her voice for 3 days. That was the end of that. It's okay if you're sitting in a cafe in Paris, but you do not want to do that.
Don't even know if it's okay in a cafe in Paris. So,
well, she was very observant. She could, she recognized everybody famous, and it was really nice. But when you're talking about some of the hikes, what about, you did all 50 states, and boy, oh boy, Hawaii is one state. I have not been to Hawaii. I never wanted to go there. It's strange. I don't know why. It never occurred to me to go there. but did you do Hawaii?
I actually think Hawaii is overrated in some ways and underrated in other ways. And I think it's underrated for nature. And there are some great trails there, and that are both short and long. Haleakala, which is the big the national park and the big volcano on Maui, has a marvelous multi-day trail. People usually do it in 2 or 3 days. That goes down from the top of the mountain down into the crater and through a gap in the backside and down through the jungle, and it ends in the Pacific Ocean. And it's an incredible trail that not a lot of people take because it is multi-day, and you have to sleep in a tent, or there's one little kind of ranger rest house that you can stay in. But up on the rim, where everyone tends to go because you can drive up there, there's some great trails around the rim that you can take to look down into this huge bowl in the ground that was once full of molten lava. There's a lot of trails like that in Hawaii, little ones that lead to waterfalls and bigger ones that go up mountains. And I think it's a great state for hiking. And then there's the famous trail, of course, along the Nepali coast, which is the north side of Kauai, which is which you can do as a multi-day trail, and you can camp along the way on these little kind of agricultural terraces that were built by ancient Hawaiians, and or you can do it as a single day to the first beach and then back. And it's so the north side of Kauai is an amazing place to hike in Hawaii. Again, it's pure nature. There's no hotels. There's no roads. There's no nothing out there.
When I was reading what you wrote there, that's really for the first time I thought, maybe I will take a trip to Hawaii, because one of the things when you see all those hotels and all those crowded beaches, and it was not something that ever interested me. But when I was reading about these trails, I thought, whoa, now that's the kind of thing I can do. And I do love sleeping in a tent. We went through a lot of Boy Scouting years, so
yes.
So
I went through a lot of Boy Scouting years.
Oh, so I've spent a lot of nights in tents all over the place.
I figure I've spent about a year and a half of my life sleeping in tents.
I love it. Now I don't know if I'd want to know that there is a bear climbing on a branch over my head. You're lucky that it wasn't like really over your head and just he'd fell right on you.
Oh, yeah. Yes, exactly. I don't think we were that naive at that point in time to put it right over our tent, but it was close enough.
that would be pretty shocking. That'd be pretty shocking. Now, what about here in Florida? Do you like hiking in Florida? Florida's a great place.
Well, you've got two kind of epic trails there. You have the Florida Keys Overseas Heritage Trail, which basically is the follows the highway, the overseas highway to Key West. But they're building, there's a trail that you can bike or hike that's right next to it, which if you've driven down to Key West, I'm sure you've seen the trail mostly over to the right side of the road, and it crosses some of the older bridges that cars don't take anymore. That's a great trail with a number of state parks along the way where you can camp overnight, including John Penny Camp, which I think has the best snorkeling and scuba in the mainland U.S. because the reef there is just unbelievable. And then there's the Florida Trail, which is this really epic hike that goes all the way from, depends on where you start, but it goes from the top end of Everglades National Park all the way to Pensacola, up through the middle of the peninsula, and then over along the Big Bend region. And that's like, I think it's 1,000 miles altogether. But that's one of the great long distance. Yeah, it's 1,500 miles. It's one of the great long distance state trails in the United States. It's the Florida Trail. And because Florida is so flat, it's a pretty flat trail too for those who don't like hiking uphill.
Yeah, you don't. There are some states where it seems to be all uphill.
Yes. Well, and with both of the Florida trails, summer is not the time to do them because of the kind of the hot, steamy weather. And you don't necessarily want to do them in the fall either because that's hurricane season. But they're kind of perfect winter trails, and I think perfect spring trails, both of them.
Yeah, I think winter is actually really the best. And although yeah. Going to the Key West, there's no way I would be sleeping in a tent anywhere.
Key West.
Even on the trail there, you're just recently here. Here we had this big alligator come along. Where it came from, and just not too far from me. And I thought, okay. And I still had to look under my car to see if there was an alligator. Some places you don't want to sleep outside, but most places, and in northern Michigan. Now, in northern Michigan is a place that you want to go on a trail and you want to sleep outside in the summer.
Yes, but you don't have to worry about alligators up there.
No, you don't. Porcupines. We do have a lot of porcupines.
Well, yes, bears and maybe wolves, some other things, but... that's a totally different experience hiking in the North Woods, in Maine or Minnesota, Michigan, those states. It's kind of a throwback to the olden days when people got through those areas in birch bark canoes or overland on foot. And it always reminds me of either Native Americans who went through those areas or the early French and English and American explorers who went through those areas. That to me is kind of a throwback because I grew up in Southern California. My mother was from Arizona, so I spent a lot of time in the desert. So going to the North Woods is a totally different world to me, even more different than going to Florida.
Well, you know, the book is fantastic. As you write here, 100 trails, 5,000 ideas, and you have ideas. And I love, of course, naturally with Nat Geo, you have gorgeous photography. You have all these wonderful little sections where you write about, exactly where to go, what to do, what to see. Everything is laid out so perfectly. It's a fun read. You can get this book, and you will literally spend hours just going through the book. Maybe you're only dreaming right now about going on a hike, but it will inspire you because, as I said, I was never thinking of going to Hawaii until I read about the trails in Hawaii. It will inspire you. Get out there with yourself, with your family, with your friends who don't talk too much, and find a trail. Find a trail where you can enjoy nature, getting away really from technology for a while. My whole childhood was spent running the trails in northern Michigan, Copper Country. That's where I'm from, in northern Michigan. And I used to just run wild. My whole childhood was hiking a trail.
So you're a youper?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Have you heard about us? You know that we're very witty, we're very wise, and we're always, we're considered, really brilliant people.
But a little wild still.
A little wild. And, we make great pasties, and we have wonderful, wonderful blueberries. So, I don't want any youper jokes. I'm not going to do that, the thing where I'm always making jokes about youpers, because we are really, we're very special people. Okay.
Well, you need to hike the North Country Trail, which goes right through the middle of the Upper Peninsula. Not the whole thing, though. The whole thing goes from North Dakota to Maine, so I don't know if you want to do that. But just to do the Upper Peninsula part in Michigan would be, along Lake Superior, would be a great thing.
It is. It's so beautiful there. Well, I want to thank you, Joe. As always, I love talking to you. I love your books. My goodness, so many now for Nat Geo. You keep going and going, and it's just wonderful. And I thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. So people, you want them to go to, of course, Nat Geo. book website?
You can go to, you can find it on Amazon Books or BarnesandNoble.com. You can find it on Disney Books, because Disney, of course, is the parent company of National Geographic. You can find it on Nat Geo Books, and you can find it on my website. There's a lot of different places.
And what is
or
your website?
Or your local independent bookstore, because I always like to plug those.
Exactly, and they carry this book. I'm sure they carry this book, because this is going to be a book that people will want now that the pandemic's over and they can get out there. I think a lot of people this summer are really, in spring, and starting in the spring, just want to get out there and get some fresh air. Right?
Yes, exactly. Or if you're in Florida, you can do it right now.
Exactly. Well, Joe, thank you so much. It's always fun to talk to you. I think you're so amazing and your life is so interesting. And as a matter of fact, people go to his website. You can find out more about Joe. It's Joe Yogerst, spelled with Y-O-G-E-R-S-T, Yogerst. Find out more about Joe and get more of his books, because he's got a ton of them,
and
right?
More on the way.
More on the way. And you'll be back here soon. Again, thanks so much, Joe, for being on Joy on Paper today. You're always a joy. It's just, I love to think of how much fun you're having. When some people say they have a job and they're working, you're doing that, but you're also having fun.
Well, thanks, Patsy, for having me on again. I really appreciate it. It's always fun.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Bye, Joe.
All right. Bye-bye.
Oh, I love Joe Yogerst. He's so super. Bye-bye now.